Once again, good morning. Certainly is a wonderful pleasure to be here and to share God's word with you. As I've gained years, I've noticed my voice has gotten a little weaker, a lot weaker. And you've noticed that, so they have given me a microphone. Is that on? Okay. I tend to get a little softer when I walk away from the mic, and I do reduce my voice a little bit, and that does affect things. So I think that's been noticed. So hopefully this will help. If you would, please take your Bibles and follow along. I've got the passages up here. This should help. 2 Peter 3, we will be looking at most, if not all, of these along the way with the lesson, depending on how the lesson turns and goes. And that will help you follow along. When Paul wrote to Timothy, as we begin this lesson, Paul wrote and said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." We could spend the whole time just on that particular verse, and I have done that in lessons in the past. Particularly notice, be instant. Don't overlook that. That's telling us that this is very critical what we're doing. There are souls at stake. And we need to preach the word. Why the word? Well, because that is critical. Paul's preaching, he told the elders at Ephesus when he met them at the seacoast town of Miletus on his way to Jerusalem in Acts 20, verse 20 and verse 27, "I kept back nothing. I gave it all of God's word, to declare the whole counsel of God." Why would he declare the whole counsel of God? Well, the reason for that is very simple. We've got to declare the whole counsel of God because it's the only way to save sinners, first and foremost. Secondly, it's the only way to edify the church, build up the church. It is the only way to prevent apostasy. Now, that third one is a little bit negative, but you've got to have it because it's the only way to deal with apostasy. And there's always that threat of apostasy among the Lord's people and outsiders that might come. So what does it mean? It means to preach the word. Sounds pretty simple and straightforward, but that's only the word. That's what we're here for. That's what it's all about. That's what evangelists are supposed to do, is to preach the word and preach all the word. There may be portions of the word that you don't want to hear. There may be portions of the word that are harder to hear, but we need to get all of the word, and that's our task as evangelists. So along the way, there are some things that are difficult. As Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verse 14 through 18, so if you've got your Bible, that's where we're starting. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." So right there, we could stop right there. Let's just do that. Thinking about that, you know, Peter has some things that are pretty hard to understand as well. He's not saying that Paul is the only one, but our beloved Paul has some things that are difficult to understand. When you look at that passage, "as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist." Those words, if you haven't looked at it before, are pretty interesting. Untaught, unlearned in the King James Version. The American Standard Version has ignorant, which means, again, untaught, unlearned. So there in Strong's would have it. Twist is an interesting word, to twist, to turn awry, to torture, put to the rack, metaphorically to pervert, of one who twists or wrests or tortures language in a false sense. And as Vincent's Word Studies puts it, meaning originally to hoist with a windlass or screw, to twist or dislocate the limbs on a rack, one of those old torture devices. Imagine that, if you will. It is singularly graphic word applied to the perversion of Scripture. So there are those out there that will take God's word and pervert it to that extent. We call them false teachers. Now, they don't like to be called false teachers, but they're out there, and you've got to know that. And they will do that to God's word, and you have got to be aware of it. Now, with all that said, what about Paul's preaching? That's what I want us to focus on for a few minutes. The first thing I want you to do this morning is to think about Saul of Tarsus. This lesson is about the wisdom of God. Have you ever thought about a resume for the Saul of Tarsus? That man. Now, he gives us a lot of information about himself as Saul of Tarsus. But did you ever think about a resume for him? Now, we're not going to develop the whole resume. I'll leave that to your own thinking. But let me just give you a few thoughts on the thing. An earthly resume for him. Remember in Acts 26, verse 24, Festus would say, "You're much learning." Now, Festus is a very wise and learned man of the world. And for him to call Paul much learning, he knows something about Saul of Tarsus, called Paul at that point. He knows something about it. You would understand him to be excelled in several areas. He would be called what we would call in this day and time a Hebrew scholar. He would know Hebrew like none of our brethren. He would be a Hebrew scholar. But not only that, he would be a Greek scholar, wouldn't he? Oh, he'd know Greek better than any of our brethren, wouldn't he? You know what else he would know? He would know the philosophies of the Greeks better than most of the day. Oh, I'd say better than any of the day. He would be a learned man in all those areas and other languages of the day and other thought processes of the day as Saul of Tarsus. Isn't it interesting? Why didn't he preach that way? Oh, that's my point today. Why didn't he preach like that? You know what? Isn't that interesting? He's converted to Christ, and you know what Paul is? Paul is a new man in Christ. He is a new man in Christ. He's no longer blind. He is a new man in Christ, and that's an interesting thing for you to think about. God says this in Isaiah 55, verse 89. And we need to get this, brethren. God's approach to us with the deep things of his mind, he approaches us. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God could have approached us in a way that was so deep, we could have never understood it. And sometimes brethren talk like that's how he did approach us. No, he did not. No, he did not. Do you realize the Ten Commandments given by the greatest of all teachers, our God, the greatest lessons, profound truths, clear, precise, easy to understand for those who are willing, in that Hebrew language, the difficult part is what? Not understanding those words, applying those words. Yeah. Moses got those words. He understood those words. Already down there, they're corrupting those words. What about the greatest teacher in the flesh? The Sermon on the Mount. You ever go through there and just measure how many three-syllable words are in there? Very few. Very few. Greatest sermon, profound truths, precise, easy to understand for those whose hearts are willing, but it is such a deep well, we all talk about it. You can go back to that well over and over and over. I know it's profound, but it is easy to understand on one sense. Again, the difficulty is the application of those things. Yeah. So think with me. We can understand and hold fast the pattern of sound words. Made this point earlier in the week. If we could not understand the Bible, God would be defective in power, not being able to give us clear revelation. The great mind of God is such that He was willing, He loves us so much, He's willing to give us His wisdom in a way that you and I can read it and understand it. Wow. If not, He would be lacking in goodness, not willing to give it to us. It's going to meet us in judgment. If it's going to meet us in judgment, He's going to judge us by it. But He didn't give it to us in a way that we could read and understand it. Do you see what that makes God out to be? What kind of God do you serve? Oh, but you see, He did give it to us in a way we can read and understand it. Are you willing? That's the problem. Is man willing? That's what Jesus is saying in John 7, verse 17. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. Your will is what stands between you and understanding. That's the real problem. So let's keep going in our lesson. Here's the difference between Saul and Paul. Here's Paul. Here's the difference in the man. Studying at the feet of Gamaliel, that doesn't matter anymore. That's not the man now. Here he is. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So why does Paul preach as he did? Think about it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. He doesn't come at us as a Hebrew scholar. He doesn't come at us as a Greek scholar. Acts 5, verse 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Paul could stand right next to him and say the same thing, could he not? Of course. Of course. And so, Paul preached the gospel, not with wisdom of words. That's not how Paul preached. Let's look at it. Take your Bibles. Go to 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians with me. It's a rather long reading, so read along with me if you would. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 31. I'm reading from the New King James Version. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. You see, he could have preached with wisdom of words, but he chose not to do that. Not with wisdom of words. The Holy Spirit doesn't want him doing that. Paul's not going to do that. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message, the word of the cross, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So let's just think about that for a moment. In this lesson, let's study the manner of Paul's preaching. We could have picked any of these men in the New Testament. And study the manner of the preacher. The manner of Paul's preaching. And see what preaching, the wisdom of God, looks like. And make sure that's what we're doing. So let's go to Colossians and see what it looks like. Paul, the Holy Spirit, has a reason for preaching the way that he did. Look over there at Colossians, the fourth chapter with me. Go to Colossians, the fourth chapter. Here, Paul, in one of these prison epistles, so he's in a prison when he writes this. Now, I know it's a lighter imprisonment than later on, but still, all the more, he's imprisoned. Continue earnestly. I'm in Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery. So here he wants this word to be preached, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Do you hear that? What do you want to do, Paul? That I may make it, the message of the gospel, manifest. Here's what he wants to do. What do you want to do, Paul? You sure about that? I want to make it manifest. This harkens back, in my mind, to Nehemiah 8. You go back to Nehemiah 8, verse 7 and 8. You remember all those guys there, along with Ezra? And all those names, a little bit hard to say. And they're all there. They're giving the meaning of the law on that occasion. Remember there, they read the law, and then they're giving the meaning of it. There it is. That's making manifest, giving the meaning of it. Oh, they're not telling stories. They're not going over some lecture. They're not. No, they're giving the meaning of the law. They're going over God's word. Well, that's too simple. Oh, that's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God's just gotten to be a little bit too much for us, I guess. Well, look here. Paul preached the gospel not with wisdom of words. He wants it thoroughly understood by all. You're going to pray for me, pray for that. That Dave would make it manifest, thoroughly understood by all. Well, that was a pretty simple lesson. Good. You got it. Good. Someone complains it was too many scriptures. Good. Did you have to cover all those scriptures? Good. Get in your car and say, he had to put all those scriptures up there? Good. Listen to what Paul said. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Sounds like all. In these walls, outside of these walls. You know, I don't make any assumptions about anybody in this audience. I am not going to stand up here in the 11th year, 20th year, 30th year, and say that I know everybody here, and I know exactly what your status is before God. I don't know what you did last night. I don't know what you did driving over here. I don't know if you're saved or lost. Only God knows that. That's why I always extend the Lord's invitation. That's not a tradition with me. You know, that was a problem back in the 70s. That's how long I've been around. Brethren complained about it back then. That's just a tradition of the church. We got to drop that tradition. And you know, it's being echoed again now. Yeah, I heard it a couple of times in the last 6 months. We gotta drop that tradition. That's just a tradition of the church. You don't need to have an invitation song. You don't need to have an invitation. Apparently, in the wisdom of God, Paul didn't see that problem. Listen to his preaching. He's talking about it all through his preaching. Acts 2:38 is still in Acts. Sounds like an invitation to me. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. I don't know. Anyway, here's manifest. Strong's finero, appear, manifestly declare, manifest, shoo. Thayer says appear, to become known, to be plainly recognized, thoroughly understood. 1 Corinthians 9:16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Yeah. And I know there are other things besides the things I'm going to talk about. I realize there are other subjects within the gospel. There's another reason for preaching the way Paul did. Go over there to 1 Corinthians again. Verse 17, look at what he said here. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. We want to make sure the cross, the crucifixion, and all that's involved in that significance, the preaching of the cross, the fact that Jesus was crucified for our sins, God's plan for our souls is talked about. Christ is the power and wisdom of God. The message of the cross, the word, the power to be saved is there. God gave his son. What if you've got a lesson and you're talking about like laying by a storm the first day of the week and the whole lesson is about giving? Well, take 5-10 minutes at the end of the lesson and deal with that. Include it in there. Bring it in there. I mean, I've taught young preachers to preach, and there's ways to do that. It's easily done. It's not difficult. Matt did it just a moment ago. The young man that was up here included it in the giving, and it's easily done. It's not difficult. You just do it. To leave it off entirely is not necessary. Seems to me it's in there in the New Testament over and over again in all places. The Holy Spirit, bring the Holy Spirit into a lesson over and over again. 1 Corinthians 2. The Lord, John 10, verse 17, 18, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received of my Father. So all these things fit together in the gospel. And so the gospel is larger than the lesson even that I'm presenting this morning. Paul's manner and way of preaching is seen. And so thoroughly understood by all, lest the cross of Christ be made of no effect. And God chose to redeem man. That's all part of the gospel. Go over to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter with me. And let's begin reading there at verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, all that's involved in the word. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. When does that take place? That takes place, go back up there to verse 17, just back up a little bit. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You could talk about being in Christ. When are you in Christ? He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What does it mean to be in him? It becomes a whole lesson in regard to those things. And so that voluntary sacrifice of Christ fits with that. Being reconciled in Christ fits with that. The gospel message of being in Christ, the way man can be counted righteous or justified, is revealed in the gospel itself. So Romans 1, coming all the way back to that. Romans 1, 16 and 17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. There's the righteousness of God. And every lesson you have on the righteousness of God touches back into that. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Every letter I submit to you that Paul wrote touches on these things. How could you miss it? Be hard-pressed to miss it, right? Here again, lesson last night, the night before that, Romans 1, verse 5, the book ends, as I see it, the book of Romans. Through him we have received grace and apostleship. Four lessons for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Then you get to the end of the book, Romans 16, verse 26. But now made manifest, there's that word manifest again, by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. And we struggle sometimes getting our neighbors to see it. I think sometimes we struggle to see it. And it's all over the place. God intended by the Holy Spirit for it to be all over the place. And it's simple. I think what's happened is we've gotten away from the Word and we're out here wandering around. You just need to get back to the Word. It's right here where it's always been. And right here for us to look at. We just need to get our nose back in the book and it'll solve a lot of problems among the Lord's people. So God chose to redeem man. And in this book is all the transforming power that we need. It's right there. It's written in every epistle that Paul wrote and the other writers of the New Testament gave us. Galatians 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, listen to Paul, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world, listen to this, the world is crucified to me. Does this describe you, brethren? The world is crucified to me. What's that mean? The world is crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world. Wow. You made that kind of sacrifice? That's what Paul said he did. You know what else he said? We don't like this one too much. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31. I die daily. I die daily. That's what you do in Christ. You die daily. Take your Bible, turn over to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. This is a high point to me in the book of Romans. I think a lot of brethren are stopping at Romans 6 because we just want to talk about baptism. Baptism's the beginning, right? That's that new birth, that's the beginning. Romans 12 is the application of righteousness. So you get to Romans 12, it says, I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's your logical service. The word is logikon. It has that sense of faith and service based on your logical consideration of the testimony. You've looked at all the testimony concerning Jesus. You made the right commitment. The logical thing to do now is to give your body in service to your Lord and your King. You lay it on the altar and you give yourself to Christ, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. You see that? Be transformed, verse 2, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You be transformed from the inside out. Don't do like I did. You know what I did? I tried to fake it. I was taught in business where you fake it till you make it. You ever heard that term? Business people go like this. You know you have. That's what you do in the business world. You fake it till you make it. Because you get in one of those roles, one of those jobs, where you don't really know everything that you're supposed to know. But you get that three-month fake it period. So you fake it till you make it. Yeah. And everybody knows you're not, he really don't know what he's doing, but he'll be all right. Yeah. What you're doing, you're watching other people. Oh, that's what you're supposed to do. And you just kind of, oh, that's what you're supposed to do. So you kind of come to services and you, oh, you sit down, you kind of look over, oh, you turn, oh, you do that, you kind of act that way. And I get that a little bit. But Christianity is, you've got to learn it. You've got to get these words. You've got to get this wisdom. You've got to be like Christ, conform to his image, Romans 8, verse 29. That's what Christ was telling those Pharisees where they messed it up. They were like whitewashed tombs, and inside they were just dead men's bones. You don't want to be like that. That's, you know, that's the worst way to be. Because you're not happy like that. That's not happy. That's not peace. You're disturbed all the time in your Christianity. Because you know you're phony. And you know if you die, you might not get to heaven. And you know what? You might not. You know you're playing the hypocrite. Stop that. Repent of it. And get it right. This is telling you, get it right from the inside. Start over. Start right now. Just determine right now, you're going to start. By repent, I don't mean you have to come up front. Sometimes we think that's the only way to repent. Come up front. It may be that while we're singing a song in a few months, right now, you start right now. Get it right with God. You make things right with God right now. Determine right now that you're going to start doing this right. You have a change of mind. That's what we're talking about. Change of mind that results in a change of conduct right now. Start thinking right. And then start living right from the inside out. We'll talk more about that tonight. Because your fruits will show. Do you know you could see grace? You could see. I'll show you that tonight. Come back, I'll show you. Paul preached that message to all. Who did he preach it to? Those who were perishing? Jews? It was a stumbling block. Hope it's not a stumbling block to us. The Greeks, it was foolishness. Those who are being saved, called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. But it's such a simple message. Yeah, I know. And everyone here, I think, can understand it. Isn't that great? There's no one here who is of an age of accountability that could not understand the words that came out of my mouth. Certainly the words from this page that were read. I don't mean R-E-D, I mean R-E-A-D. You can understand. Thoroughly understood by all, lest the cross of Christ be made of no effect, God chose to redeem man, to transform the power in our lives. 1 Corinthians 1, 29 through 30, 31, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. In Matthew 13, 13 through 16. Again, it seems like such a simple thing, but it is a wonderful thing indeed. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. You know the difference? They walked away. They walked away and didn't ask any more questions. If you've got questions today about anything you've heard, don't walk away. Ask. Ask. You see, that's the big difference. Matthew 13 through 16, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's the difference. Are you willing? Are you willing? So that's the difference. Are you willing? In Christ, there's salvation. There's every spiritual blessing. There's redemption. Go ahead and pick up your song books. Perhaps there's someone this morning who is now ready. They've heard the gospel. They've listened. They've been listening for some time. Perhaps you're ready. You believe. You've been seeking God. You're ready to repent. You've been thinking about it. You're ready to make that commitment, turning away from your sinful way of life, making that commitment to God. You're ready to confess Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. Before this audience, there is water available. There's clothing for both men and women. You can be baptized into Christ to put on Christ, start living that new life. For obedience to the faith, you can start this very day. You can be baptized into Christ, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into that one body being the church, and God, Jesus, is the Savior of that body, and God the Father, the Lord, will add you to His church as He did daily. Such shall be saved. Why not do that right now as together we stand and encourage you with this song?